You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing at Toaster, Wolverhampton and Newcastle. You can hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio, of course, on Wednesday afternoon in the company of Gareth Topham, Paddy Aspel and John Babb in the studio. Plenty to come on Wednesday. We've got those three afternoon meetings as well as an evening card on the Poly Track at Kempton Park. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, in the studio, it's a very warm welcome to Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Very well indeed, Sam. That finished second yesterday, ran well.
Right.
But, hopeful a little bit better during the coming week.
Absolutely, yeah. We've seen plenty of Cheltenham clues over the last few days, John, and everyone's very much looking forward to the festival. But I know you wanted to shine the spotlight on a trainer and jockey who may not be the leading lights at the Cheltenham Festival, but who are going tremendously well of late, and that is Donald McCain and Will Kennedy, who are a formidable partnership.
Yeah, it's absolute delight, Sam, to see them doing so well. You know, a year ago, after the Rooneys had taken their horses away and dispersed them among other trainers, there was, well, not to say a complete depression, but Donald was not actually smiling. He is now.
Yes.
His horses are really going well. He may not have any sort of Saturday specials, even for the Cheltenham Festival and so on, but he's got a whole crowd of young horses, and he's absolutely hurling out the winners, something like 60 for himself. And Will Kennedy, well, he's a revelation. I mean, he really is riding extremely well and has combined with Donald McCain to produce a very formidable partnership indeed. Trebles and doubles are happening regularly during the week, and he's already passed his personal best. In fact, he read his 50th winner yesterday, and that's tremendous. Because he was a leading conditional jockey. And then he went out of fashion,
yes,
basically, Will Kennedy. And it's great to see him come back again and riding with such confidence and skill. So great to see both of them doing well.
Yeah, and he wouldn't be the first jockey, John, who is all the rage when they're a conditional, and then when they lose their claim, struggle for rides for a little bit. He won't be the first, probably won't be the last either.
No, he certainly won't. But, you know, he really was struggling for rides, certainly struggling for winners for really quite a long while. Then Jonjo O'Neill took him on, actually, and possibly changed the direction a bit. And since joining up with Donald McCain, there's no stopping him.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know you're also interested in a runner of Sue Smith that ran on Monday, John, over at Catterick. We don't often get too many pointers that come out of Monday's racing, but there was a nice winner for Sue Smith at Catterick on Monday.
Yes, her horses are going extremely well, Sue Smith, at the moment, and I think people should watch that particular Bingley camp very carefully over the next fortnight or so. Just I Know was the horse who won at Catterick. Now, he'd won at Doncaster before that, and his jumping at Doncaster had been absolutely spectacular, particularly in the home straight. He devoured the fences and went away from the opposition to score well. There was just a little bit of doubts at Catterick because, of course, Catterick's tight turns very different from Doncaster. But once again, this horse, Just I Know, demolished the opposition simply by jumping. Every time something came to tackle him, and Kachenko ran his best race for a very long while to finish second, every time Just I Know was taken on, he put in a prodigious leap at the next fence and stayed on strongly. He looks a young horse of real jumping potential.
Yeah, absolutely. We couldn't do a podcast without mentioning the C word at some point, John. The Cheltenham Festival, obviously, we're looking forward to that. We saw plenty of clues last weekend, this weekend as well. There's be a few more potentials out. And interesting, Richard Johnson's piece in the Racing Post today. He nominates Native River as the horse he's most looking forward to riding, who's currently the 4-1 second favourite for the Gold Cup. I didn't realise it's been 17 years since Richard Johnson rode the winner of the Gold Cup.
Absolutely, and he'd love to ride it again.
Yes.
He's not quite having a revelation in the same way as Will Kennedy, but my goodness, it's great to see after Sir Anthony has retired that, you know, he is taking over the mantle as champion jockey, and it would be great to see him win the Gold Cup. Native River, I thought, was very impressive at Newbury. Mm. In fact, I've been impressed with Native River throughout the winter and suggested that he was very much the horse to follow in the Gold Cup earlier. Ideal partnership for Richard Johnson, who obviously gets on extremely well with the horse and, you know, is the type of jockey who asks horses to go and measure their fences, land running, and then continue the momentum. And he's a tremendous rhythm jockey, Richard Johnson, and I think he's got a golden opportunity on this horse in the Gold Cup. Mind you, I won't necessarily be selecting him, but it will be great to see him winning.
Okay. Gold Cup betting then at time recording. 6-4 for Thistle Crack. Native River is 4-1. 7-1 for Q Card. Jack Adam is 7-1. It's tens and bigger than the rest. Colin Tizard continues to have a real stranglehold on that particular market, John. But Thistle Crack has just eased after his defeat in the Cotswolds Chase. And Native River now, as you say there, he's won a Hennessy. He's won the Welsh National. He beat Bristol Dumai at the weekend. So Thistle Crack just easing ever so slightly. Is he still the one to beat for you?
Yes. I'm convinced of that.
Okay.
I, particularly if the ground is just a little bit better. I don't think it was any disgrace my being beaten by Many Clouds, who, you know, tragically died,
yes,
but was absolutely determined to win that race. Thistle Crack made a couple of mistakes. He'll have learnt a lot from it, and I see no reason why it shouldn't go really well. As far as the other was concerned, a long time ago, answering a Munda jury question about the Gold Cup, I thought Jack Adam had got a very fair chance of upsetting the Tizards.
Mm. Well, given his form in Gold Cups, he's placed twice in a Gold Cup, has he, Jack Adam? So he's very much proven in the race, whereas obviously there'll be a first time racing in that particular sphere for Thistle Crack and for Native River. Q Card's been there before, obviously, but in terms of big race, well, it's experience in the Gold Cup, Jack Adam has more than most.
And Jack Adam's been very carefully looked after this particular winter. He's going to come a fresh horse to that Gold Cup.
Yeah, the bad luck Willie Mullins has been having, I'm sure Jack Adam's wrapped up in cotton wool. He doesn't want to lose any more of his big stable stars.
Yeah, they're absolutely desperate, isn't it, Willie Mullins? Dear oh me, what a season.
Yeah, indeed. If it was any other trainer, John, we'd be lamenting their bad luck. But such is his strength in depth, we know he I mean, I think he's still the favourite to be the champion trainer at the festival. So he's still got plenty in reserve.
He still has plenty in reserve. And, I mean, it would be a remarkable performance if he won the Irish Trainers' Championship from Gordon Elliott, who's still got a very healthy lead, of course.
Yeah, and all those Giggenstown horses as well that Gordon Elliott has. We also must look ahead to the Grand National as well. As we record this, John, it's Grand National Weights Day. So the weights are going to be announced a little bit later on in the day. Phil Smith will have had his say. Just a quick look at the anti-post betting for the Grand National. Don Poli and The Last Samurai are the 16-1 joint favourites. One for Arthur, who's been the big market mover in this particular market, is 20-1 in from 50-1 when the book opened. The Young Master, 20-1, 25s then about Empire of Dirt, Verly en Rouge. Atois Phil is 33-1 with Black Lion and Carlingford Lock. Bigger prices for the rest of them. The Last Samurai was second in the race last year. Don Poli looks every inch a Grand National horse to some people's eye. Have we got the worthy favourites there, John?
Yes, worthy favourites. I think Don Poli's actual presence in the entry sort of great spectacular may be questionable. I mean, if he runs in the Gold Cup, there have been plenty of examples of Gold Cup runners going on to run at entry, but I always think it's a slight question mark. The Last Samurai is my choice. I see absolutely no reason why he shouldn't go just as well as he did last year, and I hope you go one better. I think Kim Bailey's got a horse who, you know, jumps for fun, stays the trip, and has been very carefully looked after, and I think he's got a great chance. So The Last Samurai, for me, at the present, is the selection. I hope he won't be too seriously clobbered by Phil Smith.
Yeah.
One for Arthur. I talked to Peter Scudamore at Carlisle last week. They are very chipper about this horse. And my goodness, after being badly hampered in that Warwick long-distance race, he came immensely smoothly throughout the last half mile, jumped well, stayed on very strongly, particularly if the ground is softish at Aintree. I think one for Arthur is going to be, you know, very hard to keep out of the frame, and it would be great to see a Scottish winner again. Mm. I backed the last Scottish winner, right, you know, Sam, Rubstick in 1979 at 33-1, but it would be good to see another. And obviously, Lucinda Russell and partner Peter Scudamore, very hopeful. And I'm just hoping that Jimmy Moffitt's Beecher Chase winner and narrowly defeated this year, Highland Lodge, does actually get into the weights. He's 50-1 at the moment.
Yeah, there's plenty of horses, good horses, that miss out every year, that get balloted out. I think a lot of those horses, John, will be hoping that Don Poley does go there, because he'll presumably be saddled with top weight, given that he's a multiple Grade One winner.
Yes, he will, won't he? You're absolutely right. And so there will be people hoping he's going to be there. I'd like to see Jimmy Moffitt's Beecher Chase winner get into the weights. After all, he's won a Beecher Chase and was just beaten a whisker before Christmas in the autumn this time round.
Yeah, Highland Lodge then is 50-1 for the Aintree Grand National. The weights are getting announced today. We're recording this podcast around about midday, so we're not too far away from the Grand National weights getting announced. We'll move on then to matters closer at hand now, and that is Wednesday's racing. We've got four races picked out for you on Wednesday. Two over the obstacles and two on the level at Wolverhampton. We'll start at Toaster with their 240 race, which is a mare's handicap hurdle. Just shy of 3 miles is the trip. Dead eight runners line up at the time of recording. What caught the eye here, John?
Well, it's a very good field, absolutely, for this mare's race. And very competitive, by no means easy to find the winner. However, going down from the top, the Maundrels, who've always been great figures at Toaster, doing it over the years. They've got Tambula running in this race. Tambula, who, you know, I thought has got a chance. He's amateur ridden, so he's going to have to it'll be a longer price than most. But he ran well when second to Theatre Goa last time out at Ludlow. He's got a chance. I think the two who are really seriously involved are What a Diva, who is going for a three-timer, having won at Toaster and at Market Raisin. And the Bowen horses are in pretty good shape at the moment. Peter Bowen trains, of course, and Sean Byrne in the saddle. So What a Diva's got to have a big chance. We don't have any betting for this race, I take it, Sam.
No, we don't. But no. On the forecast that I'm looking at, John, What a Diva, 13-2, third favourite. But that's purely on the forecast.
Yes. Well, I like What a Diva. He's very much in form, and the stable, you know, also going pretty well. Talking about stables going pretty well, Soxy is one that has to be mentioned here. Trained by Fergal O'Brien. Now, no trainer down in the Cotswolds, apart from Nigel Twiston Davies, is going better than Fergal O'Brien, who was, of course, assistant to Nigel Twiston Davies for many years, and I believe still quite often uses the Naunton Gallops. His horses are really running extremely well at the moment, and Soxy was a winner in heavy ground at Toaster, so she's got to be in here with a chance. There are a couple of others. I haven't looked at the forecast betting, so I'm not absolutely certain who they forecast as the favourite.
Act Now is the forecast favourite, bottom weight, who carries a £7 penalty for the Honeyball team.
Yes, and well, He won at Plumpton. I'm not convinced he's good enough to win. Oh, she's good enough to win this. So I put a line through ACT now. The Scudamore's got a horse in this race. They're very good with mares at the moment. Two Smoking Bullets or whatever it is. It's been winning regularly for them. And they've got Grace Tara, who ran pretty well at Wincanton last time out to finish second. And then at the bottom there, Two Swallows has Ben Pauling's contender here. And I was impressed with the way that Two Swallows actually finished at Wetherby. Quite a decent second to Happy Days. However, I'm going to go for a combination of What a Diva and Soxy will be my choice.
Soxy then for John, for Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan in that 2:40 race at Toaster. We switch our attention to the flat now over at Wolverhampton. We'll take in two races from Dunstall Park, beginning with the 3:30, which is an interesting looking condition stakes. Six runners have lined up for this extended mile contest, nearly 12 grand to the winner. So a good pot on offer and an interesting field of six here for the 3:30, John.
Yeah, very interesting field of six. We might mention the couple of horses who've been absent for a long time, Sam. For example, Andastra, down at the bottom of the list. This horse has not been out for 563 days, I think. Rafe Beckett trains and Oisin Murphy is in the saddle. And it did, in fact, win a maiden at Nottingham 563 days ago. So we don't really know whether Adastra is a possible Ascot winner in disguise, yes, as you might say. To me, it's between two horses. Mythical Madness, who's got winning form. David O'Mara now trains Mythical Madness, and fifth in the listed race at Lingfield last time out. A winner, though, before that at Wolverhampton, beating Superstar. Stable can never be dismissed. It's got to have a chance, Mythical Madness, and horses behind that particular runner have been going well on the all-weather since. But the selection will be third time lucky. I think it's about time that Richard Fahey struck gold, as you might say. Mm. And third time lucky is a horse who's got really decent form on the turf. Unlucky not to have won some tremendously valuable handicaps last season, did so the year before. And what I like about this is that Paul Hannigan is teaming up with third time lucky. And I thought he was a bit unlucky, actually, to lose his retainer. It's great, though, that he'll be back in the north and reunited for a great deal with Richard Fahey. So I get to go for third time lucky.
Third time lucky, then, the choice for Richard Fahey. And Paul Hannigan gets the nod in that 3:30 race at Wolverhampton. The 4:30 at Wolverhampton is our next race. A 2-mile handicap here with 11 runners lining up at the time of recording. And it looks as though stamina is the order of the day here, John.
Yes, I said the last race at Wolverhampton was competitive and somewhat tricky to pick out the winner. This is even worse. There's an interesting runner from Alan King's stable in this 2-miler. Do you call it Oshina?
Oceana. You probably know better than I do, John.
Well, it's interesting. I was thinking when I wrote it down,
yes,
you know, how is it pronounced? I remember it, of course, because it's an ugly winner. It just got the better of my favourite horse, Nakita, in a really decent race at York last autumn. Nakita went to the front about 2 furlongs out, and then he was mugged by this,
yes,
particular favourite of Alan King's. Runs for the first time basically since finishing ninth in the Cesaro, which was pretty well fancied for that. Then we've got Ishara, who represents the Mark Johnson stable, Joe Fanning in the saddle. This is going for a four-timer, is it not, Ishara?
Yes.
A winner at Southall last time out. Switched back here to Wolverhampton. And then the one I quite like is Byron Flyer. This is trained by Ian Williams, whose horse has been going well, and won a 2-mile race at Lingfield last time out, if I'm correct, and will certainly stay the trip. I think it is between Oceana and Byron Flyer, and I'm going to take a chance with Byron Flyer.
Byron Fly then for Ian Williams and Luke Morris in that 4:30 race at Wolverhampton, the 2 mile handicap. We go over to Newcastle now for the 4:20. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles. Just 5 runners lining up for this. What did you make of the quintet, John? And what is going to be heavy ground, we would imagine, at Newcastle?
Yes, it is definitely going to be a toiling, testing ground. And Wolf Sword is a horse who's cost me quite a lot of money. A wallet picker, as right. the Silver Fox would say. And on the other hand, has done very little wrong and will certainly stay the trip, just hasn't got a gear. The horse which has a gear and does act on soft ground is Pistol Park. Now, this is an animal who was extremely well fancied to win a race at Newcastle earlier in the season and did so hosed up for Brian Ellison. And since then has been running on a very decent level. For example, I think last time out it finished second at Haydock behind U Baltique. And that was a decent race. And Brian Ellison's team continued to be in very good form. And this horse can definitely quicken in soft ground. So it's a small contest. I think Wolf Sword is worthwhile thinking about, but Pistol Park, to me, has got the form and has to be the choice.
Okay, superb stuff then. Pistol Park gets the nod in that Newcastle 4:20 race for John. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you wouldn't mind, your lordship, of your four selections on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, we start off with the 2:40 at Toaster, and I'm going on out on the line there with Soxy to score for Fergal O'Brien. Then in the 3:30 at Newcastle, the choice is Third Time Lucky for Paul Hannigan and Richard Fahey. Baron Flyer will be my hopeful choice for the 2 mile at last two at 4:30, and then Pistol Park, rather a confident choice for the 4:20 at Newcastle.
Excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of John Budden ahead of Wednesday's racing. And you can hear all of Wednesday's action live on Racing Radio with Newcastle, Wolverhampton and Toaster in the afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening. It's Gareth Topp and Paddy Aspel and John Babb in the studio. Please do join us for all of that. John, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you for that and enjoy the action on Wednesday.
Thank you very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.